welcome to episode 81 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we'll talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Sandy, and this week, I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agent Elizabeth. And once again, we're joined by our engineer and editor, Heidi. Woo! Thank you, Heidi. Woo-hoo. Okay, so traveling abroad is exciting for many reasons. Sampling a new culture, visiting bucket list landmarks, trying an exotic new food or drink, learning key phrases of a foreign language, and they can all help us broaden our horizons and see the world in a different way. But we also know that you still have to use common sense and stay aware of your surroundings, which incidentally is good advice when you're home too. We've talked in the past about what to do when things go wrong, but tonight we thought we'd give some tips on how to avoid getting into those situations in the first place. So let's get started. So this came about whenever Heidi and Elizabeth were doing a presentation on packing, actually, and
oddly enough,
some travel tips and things like that. But Heidi, you showed a really cool video that really stuck with me about people being jostled on the subway and getting pickpocketed. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah. That's the only time I've ever had anything happen to me. Yeah. It was exactly what happened in the video, which was my husband was pickpocketed on a train, on a subway train in Paris on Bastille Day weekend, a very crowded weekend. And ever since then, we've been pretty vigilant. But I will say that once you see it or it happens to you or you see it happening to somebody else, you can pick it up immediately. Mm-hmm. And you're much more aware of your of what to do to avoid it.
Mm-hmm. So can we put a link to that, though?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, because that was really interesting. Yeah. I mean, the whole thing about the girls, like, stopping in the doorway and, like, mm-hmm. talking and creating that barrier where you
can get
through
them. And they had a fake baby, and they had a lookout, and... Like when my husband was pickpocketed, he had baggy jeans on and he felt somebody pushing him from behind as everybody was trying to get in the car because it was mm-hmm. very crowded. But the diversion of pushing him from behind was so he wouldn't pay attention to the fact that they went in his front pocket of his jeans to get his wallet. Mm-hmm. And he did get his wallet back. A woman was outside the subway car banging on the window and pointing and saying, "She has your wallet," and pointing to the woman next to him. So he did get his wallet back. But after that happened, it actually was not a bad thing because it took, as strange as it sounds, it took the fear out of it because we knew what to look for.
Yeah.
Like we realized that a lot of these people are working in pairs or in groups.
Yeah.
You can kind of sit back after a while and kind of see it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like it's everywhere. But, you know, don't get the impression that, I think there's a lot of people that have the impression that this is going to happen to them. And there's this whole industry of people buying, you know, handbags that have cables in the shoulders and the bags lock and they're slash proof. You know, I don't know. I think if you're just aware, just as you are at home, maybe with a few, do a little research on your destination, find out what the scams are. It goes a long way.
I do think a lot of the marketing plays to the whole victimization thing. Once you're victimized in any way, and I know people whose houses have been robbed and who have been pickpocketed, and it's always that feeling of victimization. It's never a good feeling to know that somebody took advantage of you.
Yeah.
And so that the marketing preys on that.
Well, it takes away your sense of safety, mm-hmm. you know,
yes.
like your sense of...
Yeah. It does, but in reality, my husband is very street savvy. He travels all over the world, and he said... It was stupid of me. I should not have had my wallet in my front pocket. It was just a dumb thing to do. He just didn't think about it. It was there.
So where does he think he should have had it then?
Well, now he uses a money belt that just slides inside his pants and it clips to the belt loop.
Mm-hmm.
And he has it in there or he has it in his camera bag, which he has locked. I think it ultimately comes down to packing again. It's like, mm-hmm. don't make sure you can handle what you have with you. If you're encumbered by a lot of heavy luggage, you're going to be more of a target.
Yeah. That makes you a target. I think that's the key thing is people don't think about it, but those sorts of things, weakness makes you a target, just like the lion picking out the gazelle.
Exactly.
It's exactly the same.
I've been with people who have their purse like wide open and they're on the phone and they're not looking. And I feel like I have to stand there and watch their purse because I'm like, okay, if someone comes running by and just grabs it, which one of us is going to be fast enough to catch them? You know, I mean, I think about stuff like that a lot, you know.
I think Americans, we're very nice people and we don't want to hurt people's feelings. But in reality, if you're in a country and somebody comes up to you in Europe with a clipboard and is saying to you in English, oh, I'd like you to sign a survey against drug abuse. And you say, no, thank you. And they're like, what's the matter? You're not a, you know, Are you all for drugs? Are you all for drug addicts? It's just a diversion. They know. How do they know you speak English? Well, they know. They're good. Mm-hmm. They can figure out where you're from.
Or they've been watching you. That's the other thing. We never think people are watching us. We always think that we're anonymous, and we're not.
And they know. They know where you're from. Mm-hmm. And if they can create a little bit of diversion just to divert your attention for a little bit, and these are not violent crimes. These are pickpocketing type of opportunities. So, you know, I don't carry a bag that's reinforced. I don't carry anything that I'm going to cry over if it gets stolen. Mm-hmm. That's because something did get stolen at a resort in Mexico. My beloved scarf, and I did get it back.
Yeah.
But I was devastated over a stupid scarf, and nothing we bring with us should do that. It should cause that kind of boo-hoo, I lost my scarf.
My grandmother always wore like fake jewels.
So if you think about that, that's no better, because if you are wearing fake jewels, how does the person know they're fake?
Right.
You know, it still makes you a target.
It still makes you a target. So I think kind of some of the things that we can do is don't look like a rich tourist.
Yeah.
Don't be really loud. Don't be yelling across a subway car, drawing attention to yourself, or, you know, yelling back and forth when other people are being low key. Just kind of try and blend in a little bit. It makes you less of a target. I would imagine that would be anywhere in the world, even in the United States.
Well, and I think that's actually in a lot of big cities you get that sort of, and I'm not going to target one particular city like some political candidates do, but I do think that there are, you know, there are cities that have reputations for people being cold or whatever. It's not that they're cold. They're very warm people, but not to you on the street, because that just invites trouble.
Exactly.
And I think, I think it's always shocking. You know, I traveled in my early 20s with a very good friend of mine who I loved dearly, who had never traveled before. And she had this habit of smiling and nodding. And I'm like, you got to stop doing that, because you're saying yes to things that you don't even understand. You're answering a question, you know, you're just being polite.
We are great smilers, nodders, thankers, applauders.
Don't do it.
We're just like happy people.
Don't do it. I love you. You're wonderful, but do not do it. Mm-hmm. Do not.
I think too, the whole travel insurance thing can be important. Mm-hmm. Safety can also involve getting, you know, maybe not anything to do with crime, falling down and breaking your leg. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've been to Amsterdam, you know, there are those basements that the stairs just come right up into the street, and at night they're not lit. You could just literally fall down somebody's basement stairs.
Yeah. And note, our dear audience, that is not a travel agent talking. That is a real actual person.
That's a real person who may or may not have
also
done that. See, things can happen.
Well, I do. You're right. I mean, I think safety wise, you know, there's crime that you have to guard against, but then there's also things like physical injury, which honestly, nobody intends to break their leg. Mm-hmm. And we do things where we're risking breaking our leg, but it's never the intent to do it. And so, it's really important to make sure you're covered for all possible situations. And incidentally, most travel protection coverages will include things like lost bags, stolen, maybe it depends on the policy, but you know, if the airlines lose your bags or whatever, which feels like a stolen bag, then they can help you with that as well to some degree. So
I think your travel agent too, if you're not inclined to do your research yourself, then travel agents can also offer that their expertise.
Yeah,
if you're going to a particular place that is known for, I don't even, anything, you know, is it safe to drink the water? Is it safe to eat street food? What side of the road do they drive on? Like, what way do I have to look when I cross this street? That's actually a biggie if you think about it. In the UK, in London, there are areas that are labeled that say, look this way before you cross the street.
Well, because
they know who's crossing
because
the street.
They know. Yeah, right. No, it's true. Yeah. And I think, too, we also know when to say you need to ask your doctor, because we get questions about Zika.
Yeah.
We get questions about vaccinations. We get questions about all sorts of health risks. And it's like, okay, I can give you what the CDC tells you, but at some point you need to consult your doctor, because are you planning to get pregnant? Are you maybe almost pregnant? Are you pregnant? Are you past pregnancy? And those sorts of things play a part in Zika virus or, you know, or in other situations. I had back surgery 6 months ago. Okay, well, talk to your doctor about these activities that are planned on your trip. Which ones can you do and which ones can't you do? Because as much as you want to zip line, it might be a very bad idea right now.
Yeah.
But then your doctor can also, so we can actually help you figure out what things are safe, what things we have a question about safety, and what things probably you're absolutely not.
And on the same vein, the U.S. State Department runs, you know, they have websites for each country, even broken down into certain cities, kind of giving you a heads up if there's certain waves of crime or issues, political issues that are going on, instability, what have you. I mean, they're pretty vague. But it gives you an idea if there is a known issue.
Yes. And we've said this many, many times. I mean, a lot of times you'll hear about a crime in a particular country. Look at the crime rate and compare it to your city. And yeah, you'd be surprised.
Just turn on the local news and Raleigh and
Now, Durham. There are cases where places are less safe than others. I'm not going to deny that. But sometimes things are blown way out of proportion. And you really, I mean, you want to count murders, then look at your own city or look at the cities nearby you that you go into regularly. And you would be surprised at the crime rate. And so the likelihood, you know, your statistical average, so you're rolling a one, it's a one in six chance. It's the same. So just, you know, look at your statistics and make your decision based on that. I think it's really important in a time where terrorism is rampant and that sort of thing, rampant, you know, it still doesn't happen that often, but when it does happen, it's really terrible.
Well, it's very, it's really terrible and it's really, right. You know about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was in Paris 2 weeks after the bombings and, they were definitely on alert. I mean, they looked around, and when you went in the subway car, people weren't frightened, but they looked around, and when you went into your hotel, and they made you open your jacket, they looked in your bag. It was all done very nicely. It wasn't done under, you know, you didn't feel like it was paranoid. The climate summit was going on, too, so there were a lot of dignitaries in town. There was a lot of stuff going on at the time. These countries know what they need to do. They know that tourism is a big deal for them. And a city like Paris, they are going to do what they need to do to keep you safe.
When you travel abroad, do you register with the Smart Travel Enrollment Program?
I don't.
You don't?
I know a lot of people do, but it just
this is something I was looking at, and I have a link there, so if people want to look at it. But it's really cool because it is the State Department, and so you can easily go and look at what alerts they have for what where you're going to be traveling, and you can enroll and get alerts whenever things might come up while you're there or things like that. So it's just kind of an extra step. I don't think it's totally necessary.
In the event of an emergency, too, it gives the embassy or the consulate the ability to know that you are in their town.
Yes.
That they may need to look out for you. Right. And I think that's, you know, that's a good thing.
And that's another good thing that insurance can do too. Travel insurance is helpful.
Well, you definitely want to give your friends and family contact information. And, you know, when you travel internationally, they will ask you for emergency contact information. You give that to them. And honestly, I see that as an umbrella. You want that because when you have it, you don't need it. And when you don't have it, that's when you really need it.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I have been to London right after IRA bombings. I have been to Rome right after terrible, terrible incidents in the airport there. In some ways, going right after a terrorist attack feels very safe because that's when they've really got their eyes open. You know, they've just been woken up. So that's a, I don't know that to me, that's a great time to go. I'm not, that's not a scientific fact. I'm not going to say that, but to me, I feel very safe going into those situations. And, you know, knowing that people are extra vigilant makes me very happy as a tourist.
They're extra vigilant on your behalf because they know what they're doing. They also have different laws when it comes to privacy than we do. So they are definitely looking at what we do. You know, they have cameras and they know, you know, they have probably a little bit more of a better understanding.
So before we made the entire listening population of three of our podcast paranoid, let's go back to talking about personal safety, because I'd like to talk a little bit about like hotel safety and sort of what things you can do just to protect yourself from
getting your stuff. Like you'd made a note about like the safes and stuff. So what do you put
in the safe? Husband actually wanted me to make a point about that because he travels a lot. And, you know, a lot of the safes are not bolted down at all. They are just a free floating box.
Oh my God.
Sometimes they just have a screw in the back and right. I mean, so one of the first things he does, well, he always checks for bed bugs.
I do that too.
Yes.
And then, he looks at the safe, and if it doesn't look safe, then he uses a lock in his bag.
Yeah, we don't, we actually, well, I don't, my husband sort of stands by the safe, but I tend not to use them. I will say the best thing that I heard, incidentally, was on my recent Adventures by Disney trip, one of the most common mistakes people make on a trip like on a vacation is they leave their stuff in their safe.
Sure, yeah.
They lock other stuff in their safe and they go into the next place and they're like, oh, I left my passport in the hotel back in. And if you have a tour guide, that's a nightmare for them. If you don't have a tour guide, that's a nightmare for you. And it really, I mean, nightmare is putting it mildly. That is just a really difficult situation. And they suggested, and I've never heard this, and maybe this is just totally stupid and everybody in the world knows this, put your shoe in the safe the night before you leave.
But that smell.
But then you can't leave without opening your safe. Yeah, right. Exactly. Right, or, you know, put your pants in there. So something that you need in order to get safely out of your hotel room without being arrested. Then put that in your safe. So that,
that wouldn't stop you, though, Elizabeth. It would. Well, that one time that you...
assuming that my husband actually has something for me to wear, but still...
Sorry.
But actually, I thought that was genius. I'd never thought of that because we do. We put our all our things in the safe to be safe.
So tell me what you mean about in a bag with a lock on it. Can't they just take the bag then?
Sure. Yeah, they can definitely lock off with the bag. But, you know, you hear all these things on travel forums. Everybody's going out and buying these bags that have reinforced steel and they're not going to be slashed and they're not going to be this, they're not going to be that. Well, where are you going? I mean, are you going to a place that you really need this or are you just, it's being passed on the internet as lore and you think you need these bags that are really expensive, by the way. Mm-hmm. I just use a bag that has a sturdy strap and I use a carabiner, which is, you know, something that I guess I think hikers use them. I don't really know. I don't hike. Yeah. But they're little carabiners and they just attach to my bag, to the zipper and to the strap. And it just stops a crime of opportunity. Nobody can open my bag without me feeling somebody tugging on it.
You have to unclip
it. It's more difficult. I mean, they could do it.
Sure, they could do it. But, you know, when it's crossed over my body and my arm's kind of over it, chances are it's not going to happen.
And then you put it on under your jacket. If it's cooler weather, put your purse under your jacket. Is it inconvenient for you? Yes. Is it inconvenient for people who might want to cut the strap? Yes.
Some trips I didn't even use a purse. I use it's a wrist wallet. It's stretchy. Mm-hmm. It has two openings. One side I put some credit cards and my room key. The other side I put a little bit of cash. In cold weather, I just put my jacket over it and I'm good to go.
I have one of those for running.
It's very similar.
And I will say the smaller your purse, the less likely somebody really... Don't carry your big tote bag, Michael Kors. I have one.
Right.
It's right here, actually. As we're Don't carry your huge purse with you when you... go out because that says, look at all the crap I have in my purse. Mm-hmm. I bet there's something good in here. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you have a smaller bag, how much can you really put in there? Not that it's not attractive because a credit card can get somebody very far, but at least it's not, hey, look at me. I have,
but these are crimes of easy opportunity. Mm-hmm. If they look at you and size you up to not be an easy opportunity, they're going to move on to the next person. I saw it again in Paris the same weekend we got pickpocketed. It was Bastille Day weekend. It was crazy in Paris. We were on a bridge and we sat there and we watched six different girls get pickpocketed.
Wow.
And you would see the moment when they realized it and they would start screaming and say, my wallet, my wallet. They had bags similar to your Michael Kors that were wide open. Somebody came up to them with a clipboard, wanted them to sign a petition. Somebody else with the clipboard, the hand came underneath and took... So we don't sound heinous, we tried to stop it once and it did not go well.
Wow.
And we're not going to do that again. Yeah. But at any rate, I think if you make yourself just kind of low-key and you don't carry anything that's too important... Now, granted, you might have to carry your passport with you. Some people wear those... wallets that go inside their pants. I can't reach into my crotch to get my money.
From your
bra.
That's the worst thing. If you've ever had to take money from anyone, you know, it's that when the moment they reach that bra strap, you're like, no, really, got this.
I'd rather just
just take that. So there's your hint.
So what about they make RFID passport things. So what's that all about?
I mean, I guess people do use them. That's to keep somebody stealing the identity from the chip that's in there.
Now that everything's high tech, you basically are walking around with identity going, here I am.
But here's my solution. I know that listeners can't see this, but I have this little wallet that comes with a Bagolini. It's on a string, and I attach it to the inside of my purse on a clip. Mm-hmm. And inside of it, I got the stationery store. It's just a little metal holder, and I put
it's a business card holder.
This is RFID right there. You don't need a fancy.
The metal blocks the RFID. Yeah, look at that.
Yeah. Just stick it in there.
I wish we had video for this.
Well, it's okay. The sound effects are really good on that. I can hear it. Yeah. Incidentally, I apologize for all the banging because we're very enthusiastic. We keep hitting the table. So if you keep hearing the thumping, that's what that is. So when Heidi edits this later, she's like, oh my gosh, we were just like banging on everything.
But I do think there are things you can do that you don't have to go out and spend a fortune to protect yourself. Mm-hmm. If you want to use a small lock or a carabiner, if you're going to a really high crime area. And so you got to be careful. Like it can turn on you. There are people that say they have these reinforced crossbody bags, and let's say someone on a scooter tries to take their bag, and they try and cut it. Yeah. If they can't cut it, you get dragged along with it.
Right. Or you get cut.
Or you get cut.
Yeah.
So you know, I think there's a lot of people that are very frightened. And then when they actually go, they realize, oh, this is nothing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It doesn't happen to most people.
I've traveled a lot, and once has been an attempted pickpocket. And one time I had things stolen out of my hotel room. But it was a really bad hotel. So to be fair, it was a really bad hotel. So long, long time ago. But one time there was an attempted pickpocket, and that was back in the day of fanny packs. And I think that was the first thing that I learned was, I think growing up, even though, I mean, I was in the show Oliver, I sang Food, Glory is Food, but I didn't think thieves worked in groups. And yeah. I guess I don't think that way. So that was my first wake up call was that, yeah, there's actually going to be
and they work young.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. These were children that tried to pickpocket me. But I will say that was a big wake up call because I think too, if you think that the guy with a clipboard is the threat, he is not. Mm-hmm. So if you're focused on making sure he doesn't do anything, somebody else is doing something to you. You got to understand that they work in at least pairs, if not more than that. And that's what the video shows is there were like six people in on that at least. And so, yeah, you don't really think about that. You think about the person in front of you. You don't think about all the people.
And I have to say,
we're
talking about this, and you know, as if it's a given. Or if you go on a site like, let's say, TripAdvisor on a forum, and they're talking about it like it's a given. It's the same thing as somebody has a good experience, they don't report it. They don't say, "I went on the subway 16 times today," and it just doesn't. People tend to report the bad things.
I have been traveling since I was 13, and I've had those two incidents. Again, one, bad hotel. I left stuff out. It's not like, you know, I was being careful. And then the other one was my first, and there was a lady from Chicago behind me who saw it and stopped it. But she was ready for it, and I was not. I was very naive. So, yeah, in all of my travels, I think I am smarter now, too. I do things like I wear the purse because they won't try to cut the strap if they can't see it. Yeah. And if I have my hand on my zipper when I'm in a place where I'm looking up, that's another thing. If you're in a place where you're looking up, just put your hand on your zipper because they're not going to touch you. They'll go to the next person who is just looking up and not touching
their zipper. Except one of the tactics on the subway, somebody will yell, "Pickpocket!" And what do all the men do? They go for their wallets. Then they know where the wallets are.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was smart. Great. That I was like, genius. All right. Yeah. Way to go.
There you go.
Well, and I carry a purse. So for me, it's not like I'm putting my hand on my wallet and revealing the secret location. Yeah. I'm just holding my purse. And I do that in New York City. I do that actually in downtown Raleigh. I do that wherever I am. And it's not whoever I'm passing or whatever. I put my hand on my bag while I'm walking in general. Mm-hmm. Because if your hand's on your bag, you're just not a target. It's harder. So why bother? Right. Go to the person.
They're
going
to go to the next person that is an easier target. Yes. So if you just make yourself less of a target, chances are. Mm-hmm. And people always say like, oh, I worry I have a really nice camera. They don't want your cameras. Mm-mm. They don't even really want your wallet. They just want your money.
Yeah.
They don't even want your credit cards.
Yeah.
They're just going for an easy way to try and pickpocket you.
but let's just say after talking about something like this, because this is sort of a scary topic. So before we close, I want to say travel is actually as safe as anything else. You could get pickpocketed walking out of your front door.
This happened to my cousin when she was at college. She had her wallet and her backpack and she was in the bookstore and someone stole it.
I was robbed at my high school. Not robbed. I mean, I left my crap lying around and somebody took it. Yeah. So yeah, it can happen anywhere. Yeah. Totally. And it feels just as bad. It's not a small deal, but the thing is traveling is not the risk.
A good way of putting it.
That's really not the risk. Can happen to you anywhere.
Because watch your local news and you'll see people still
absolutely.
All that stuff still happens there too.
Yeah. I think if you keep your head about you just like you would at home or in any larger city, maybe a little larger than the one you live in, how would you act in that city? It would be no different than going really anywhere else.
Yeah. And that's hard for some of us who are naturally nice. Sure. This is a problem for me. I don't think like a criminal. And I've been through training. I've worked in retail and they'll train me on things. I'm like, people do that? It doesn't even occur to me. So sometimes you do have to sort of go outside your comfort zone and try and think how somebody would think.
I agree. I told my niece when we were in Europe 2 years ago, she was like 17 at the time. If they're coming up to you and speaking to you in English, you don't need to answer them back. Like, you don't need to be, I'm sorry, I don't want to talk to you. Just don't answer them. Just keep walking. It's okay. You know, you're not going to hurt somebody's feelings. This is a huge city we're in. It's really okay, and it's probably a good thing to do. You know, yeah. Don't worry so much about hurting people's feelings.
Yes. And in fact, for, you know, for my Southern friend and, you know, I had to teach her, and I don't even know that she learned it.
It's hard.
Know, it's okay to shake your head no instead of like your involuntary nodding yes. Just change it to an involuntary shaking your head no. Just do that. You know, just make yourself closed off, because sometimes that will benefit you. It doesn't mean you won't have a good experience. You won't make new friends. You will. But you'll have some control over that situation.
So. All right. Well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com and click on podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast or search for Fly Away, or email us at info@outlandertravel.com. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Elizabeth and our amazing engineer and editor, Heidi, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly!